Welcome to What the Tech, the podcast that brings you the latest in technology trends and innovations, sponsored by ProServe IT. This month, we're excited to focus on AI, your co-pilot. Microsoft has introduced a complete line of AI products to help you in the daily flow of work on the most secure and reliable business platforms. In today's episode, Creating Your AI Roadmap, we'll guide you through the essential steps to integrate AI into your business. You'll learn how to assess your current AI maturity, identify key use cases, understand AI safety and data privacy, and prepare your organization for a successful AI implementation. Stay tuned as we delve into practical examples and strategic insights that will help you harness the power of AI for your business.
My name is Peter Bagley. I'm an advisory services executive here at ProServe IT. ASEs and advisors such as myself are a body of senior leaders in technology within our company that assist with broader topics in enabling digital transformation and technology adoption. So I'm really looking forward to shedding some light on this particular subject today, as it's obviously an extremely hot topic, but there are so many questions on where to begin by so many folks. And so this is exciting because it's become mainstream so quickly, but also it's a little scary because of those many unknowns and questions, right? So today I'm hoping to educate a bit and hopefully address those fears. It's an interesting journey and that all of us are on together. May you live in interesting times, and this is certainly one of those. So here at ProServe IT, we think that technology is here to help empower your organization. And indeed, every organization has the ability to be a technology company. Technology has the capability of creating differentiation and enabling competitive advantage. And so it's up to us as business leaders to look at that and say, how do we do that? And especially now with the advent of AI, how does that shift the landscape? And how do we look at it? So this discussion is going to be with as little technical jargon as possible. We're going to try to keep it high level. And the whole point of that is that that allows us to have a strategy-centric conversation. There'll be other sessions a little further on with more details in various different areas, but this is very much your big picture, broad journey. So we at ProServe IT find it very useful when we're thinking about IT and all the various different aspects within the landscape. We need to compartmentalize and we need to identify because it does touch so many different areas of our business and our organizations, right? So we have, it's not just your laptops, it's not just the server room, it's not just the network, it's all these things. And what we try to do is we have this metaphor of a house to help us visualize what that means. And then we're going to use this in future as we're talking about it, reference back to it to say, where are we in this house and how does AI impact it? So just like briefly, the house has, you have to have security, right? Security is the foundation of any house and everything above it would crumble if it's not set up properly with the proper foundation. So that's security at the bottom. We have various different rooms in the house, for example, such as your infrastructure. Your servers, your WAPs, your Wi-Fi, your routers and your networking, right? Your cloud infrastructure as well. You have departmental applications, for example, in your company that need addressing. So everything from an HRIS system or maybe DocuSign, like very small, various different small specific applications or SaaS offerings that allow you to, that your departments or your users need for your business to run. Another important factor for IT to consider is brand experience. So brand experience is twofold. There's an external factor as well as an internal factor. So the whole point of the external factor is to attract and retain and grow your clients and your customers or your fundraising, for example. If you have a very good brand experience externally that's highly modern and attracts that sort of excitement and a community, then you're going to be able to be more effective within your organization and your mission. The same goes internally. So, and a lot of people don't think about that, but people want to be part of an organization that has a good brand, internal brand experience. people will, again, be attracted, or we can retain and we can grow those end users and those employees because they have that good internal experience within our organization. Productivity is everything from your Office 365 suite or Google, whatever it is that you're using. It's your day-to-day productivity for email, for documents, for interactions, Slack, Teams, that sort of thing. Those are all the, these are all the base rooms that we use across this row here for identifying, compartmentalizing IT. And then we obviously have a core business application. Most companies have at least one app to rule them all, or like an ERP, or if in the case of manufacturing, you're dealing with an MR, and that's your core business application, and it oversees everything. And on top of that, we have insights and automation. All your reporting or analytics or business intelligence that oversees everything that's going on in the rest of the house. And indeed, the automation or the interoperability between the various different applications and parts of the house that we have. So again, this is a metaphor that we use just to understand exactly what's going on as we talk about AI throughout the day. You can reference back to this house, and as, indeed, when we're talking about road mapping, where we are within the house at various different levels. So what is AI? So obviously we're here to talk about that. AI has been around for a while, right? Like we have predictive text on our phones. We have things like in your house, you might have Google or you might have Alexa. You, when you're interacting with your iPhone, you might use Siri, for example. So this has been around for years, and that's really no secret. But something's changed, right? What was that thing that actually changed? About a year ago, ChatGPT came in, maybe a little over a year now, came in, and indeed with Microsoft and Google and Meta, they all became more matrix-centric with their solutions. So where they've been doing research in the past, they've now gone to market with those options and services. Additionally, I would say just in the past month or couple weeks, there's been another watershed moment within the AI community. And that is, you know, that Copilot has been offered to everybody at the small to medium business level. So Microsoft's opened the doors for everybody to use that, which is a huge game changer. It allows everybody to play in that field, not just the big players. There's competition here. I would say, obviously, that Microsoft's leading the pack as far as their ability to go to market and to make an impact on your lives and your businesses and your organizations. However, everybody's catching up. It's not going to be a one-man race. And so there's all sorts of different technologies here that allow you to embrace AI. So what's the big deal? What's so important about it, right? There's a lot of capabilities. There's a lot of use cases, and these use cases are only going to keep growing. So everything from generative AI to predictive AI. On the generative side, you have creating content and conversational AI and improving things, being able to feed a variety of different sources of information and have things correlated, transformed, summarized, or presented quickly. From there, you can take that information, you can refine it before it gets applied or used. On the predictive side, we're able to feed AI large amounts of data. So it can quickly recognize patterns across time. You don't have to set up a big infrastructure in order to get it to work right. It's very much on the fly and capable of doing some really potent things on the fly. And then you can use that knowledge to ask more questions and again, refine. So AI at this point is not your pilot, it's your, and Microsoft's got a great term for it, it's co-pilot, right? You're still very much in control. You're the one reviewing, you're the one checking all the work and adding that level of sanity at this point, sanity checks. But it's more that it's your co-pilot and does a lot of the work really quickly for you. One of the main or interesting things from just on a personal level from us as a consulting firm, in the past, we've had to very much go on a campaign of pushing any large technology changes. So I guess the one previous to this that would have been the most impactful would have been a move to cloud technologies, for example, 10 years ago. And with that, there was a lot of education and a lot of convincing that needed to happen. With AI, that's not the case. AI, it's a pull. We're being requested to engage with this. All C-level positions are heavily interested in what's going on with this, and that's the change that's happening for us. There's expectations for AI, but a lot of people are, that's what's down the right-hand side here. Everybody is looking forward to using it in different ways. And that's very much what we're talking about today, is that there are so many different impacts that it can potentially have. How do we go about setting down that path and figuring out what's the most important to my business? So we have a modern smart house now, if you will. AI doesn't get its own room. It really is an augmentation or an enhancement to each of the rooms, everything from security to insights and automation. Every single room gets augmented or enhanced by AI. So when we look at the house, just to step back and take a look at, there's a lot of questions that we get asked a lot. What should I be invested in? What do people in my industry have? What tools do they leverage? What are they doing? Am I falling behind? Am I ahead? That sort of thing. And many of us probably look at our organization and ask, how is my business doing with respect to technology? And it's really hard to answer that question like with a universal answer. Your business may be really good and invested in security, for example, but you may not have invested as much in the business application. You may have a legacy or ERP. And so we think that you need to assess and judge which category you fit into here for each of these rooms. And so that's not to say that anything's wrong with what's been done in the past. Very much your investments that you've made into various different areas or into these different rooms has worked for you. It's gotten you this far, right? But I think it's important to take a look at this through the lens of what we're thinking about for the future. So where do you want to be? And in order to get to where you want to be, are there any gaps to where you are in any of these areas in order to enable that future? As an example, if we were to take insights and automation and do a quick assessment and say, hey, where do we stand? Is my company a laggard? Is it a fast follower? Or is it a leader? Some of the categories you might find in is that you're running everything by spreadsheets and you're running everything on Excel formulas. You have an inventory that you keep it in Excel. It's not in a system. Potentially it's known by only one or two people within your organization, presenting a risk if that person left, you'd be stuck. Difficult to integrate data from multiple sources. So not very agile or allowing you to be creative with data in order to solve problems or come up with ideas. If you were a fast follower, you might say, okay, we have baseline reports. We actually have some reporting sets that we use, maybe not all, but the majority of our businesses run that way. And we have automated data retrieval and data refresh, right? We have integration from multiple data sources within our company. And as far as AI is concerned, we would say that, okay, you're now at the point where you're ready to start down an AI journey as far as insights and automation are concerned. And if you were a leader, for example, integration of external data sources, you would have, for example, if you were in, say, you needed to pull in the weather because you're in the construction industry or something, and, you know, you're working outside and you need to know from a project management standpoint, what is the weather that's going to actually impact my project? And can you bake that information in all the time when I'm making decisions? Just as an example from an external data source. So at that point, if you're a level three, I would say that you're adding, your AI is also engaged and you're adding value with AI. So that's just an example of where you might find yourself on a maturity matrix in just one of the rooms. So fit for purpose AI. So again, what does AI mean to you? What does it mean for your business? And where, how do I get started? What are the risks? So I'm going to give a couple consumer examples of stuff that's fun to do with AI and then translate that and pivot it into what that means for your business. So as an example, right now there's a bot available to you that you could go on. If you say found yourself wanting to watch a game of sports and all your buddies were out busy and you didn't get a chance to, and you want to actually still have some sort of conversational discussion on the game. And because it's no fun watching a game by yourself, right? It's a lot more fun with interaction and people. There's a bot. His name is Brew. He looks suspiciously like Tom Brady. And he's able to have that conversation with you throughout the game. And he can talk and he can comment on what's going on. And he's been fed the language and the information specific to, for example, football. And he's able to really speak in those terms of like touchdowns or uses various different verbiage that matches that conversation that you want to have with them. Another example might be, say, you want to talk dance and you want to talk to Coco here, who looks like Charli D'Amelio from TikTok, who's a TikTok dancer, and you want to have a conversation on something. And so she's been fed with all the information of and trained with all the information about dance and talks in those terms and that from that standpoint. A third option might be you want to have a game of Dungeons and Dragons, and so you need a dungeon master. But you really like Snoop Dogg and you think he's the best celebrity ever. And so you're going to use him as your dungeon master. And so now the dungeon master talks like Snoop Dogg and interacts with you as a fit for purpose AI bot. So what does that mean? So those are the commercial examples, right? And so say we want to take those and we want to apply them to our business and make them more business centric. You might create a bot. For example, this is Billy. And Billy's been given the personality of a ride or die older sister, just for a conversational style. But instead of an older sister, she's now our sales co-pilot. For example, and I'm going to use a sales example, it might not fit for not-for-profit as much, but it's take this example and think about a task that you do on a regular basis every single day. And what would you, that's an arduous, maybe administrative task that you have to complete. And think about through that lens. I'll explain my example, and then hopefully it applies to one that you might have as a use case. So if for example, I go into a sales meeting and we're having a wonderful discussion, and the sales goes really well, and there's a budget for the item that we want to move forward with, and we've just finished that great meeting, and the AI sales pilot has been along for the journey within that entire conversation, or can review back on the transcript of the recording of the meeting. And instead of me going off and now spending a bunch of time, I'm going to try to give the sales co-pilot some instructions to get some stuff done. So I'll say, Billy, can you please summarize the call we just had and itemize any action items into bullets for me? And then put that into a draft email for my review. Can you also schedule follow-up meetings every week with the customer until we are ready to move forward? And then as a third thing, can you also, you know, that proposal I did last month, can you use that as a basis, combine it with the conversation we just had in the recording? And then I want you to redo that proposal with that in mind and send it to me to review. Oh, and one other thing, we need to put this through the proposal process that we have in our organization. So can you please input it into the proposal system so that it gets reviewed and we get this on starting to move the pieces in place that we need to do? And then a final thing, can you update the CRM and put all the items in that I would normally have to manually painstakingly type in? Can you please update our CRM for us? So all those instructions, about 60 seconds maybe to go through and give that to the co-pilot. And that might have taken me 4 hours, maybe half a day. And maybe if I'm doing the proposal review, another 4 hours to get that proposal just right. And instead, now I'm reviewing it afterwards and all the grunt work has been done. Another example, and I'm just watching my time, so I'm going to be a little bit careful and jump through these, might be like an IT service person that uses that past model, uses all the information that's available to you. You phone up, you've got a problem with, say, your printer. Your printer's not working. An AI, like a help desk service bot, would be somebody that could easily go in, look at the past, look through all the records that have happened in the past and go, oh, there was a problem there last time. There was a problem the week before as well. And so quickly comes with a solution that would solve the issue for the end user the last time, as opposed to having a human go back through and review each of the previous tickets or have the system have a rule that tells it how to come to that conclusion faster. AI just goes in and finds that info. And not only that, but it knows that who you are, and it knows indeed where, you know, that there's probably a root cause for this now that I've seen this three times. So I'm noticing a trend. Can somebody please go check to make sure that the printer is locked down to a certain IP? because it seems to be dropping all the time, and that's why it's bouncing around. I think that's the root cause. So lots of examples of ways that we can apply the commercial aspect here to a business application. So where do we start? Right?
Peter?
Yes.
Just before you go on, we did have a couple of questions in the chat about overcoming resistance in the organization.
Excellent question. Yeah, by all means. So I get to that in two slides. Thanks, Betty. Okay, hopefully I addressed that question. Where do we start? Okay, so that'll very be much. Yeah, that's the next slide, actually. So we've got this is a meme that was created by AI. This is a comical slide. This isn't meant to be anything more than that. But we asked AI to generate what this is. We're all told that it's magic, right? We turn on AI and phase three AI, we have an AI magical powered future. Everything's perfect. We all know that there's a phase two in there somewhere, right? And very often, in order to get to phase two, once we've defined what we want that phase two to look like, there's a phase zero as well. So there's a phase zero of just understanding AI and discussing it. So if I take the silly slide here and I apply it to, for example, and I apply it to where do we go with just add a little professionalism to it. We've got two flavors of companies right now, I would say, or organizations. You're usually in phase zero or you're usually in phase one. And a phase zero employee, nothing wrong with it. I would say the majority of us are in that boat in a phase zero. We may not know what use cases we want to go use for AI. We don't know where to start on that. We don't understand maybe necessarily all the value proposition, right? We're unsure on the risks. We don't feel that AI safety has been addressed and we understand it, or we can accept it, or we know how to mitigate it, right? So that's a discovery process that needs to be gone through. And then also we don't know where to start. Right. So that's everybody in a phase zero approach. If we're trying to get to phase one, which is where you understand all those items and you're ready to go and your use case is defined and you know your value prop and you understand the risk, we're on our way. So then what AI or the AI roadmap does is something that we're recommending everybody go through is get you from that phase zero to phase one. And there's three outcomes from that. One is you understand the 1 to 2 use cases that you're going to tackle, right? You understand AI safety. And I see a message in there asking about data privacy concerns, right? PIPEDA, GDPR, all the rest of that. And just to address that one question, yeah, it actually applies the same rules that apply to your Microsoft tenant, for example, where you keep SharePoint and where you keep all your security. That is the exact same set of rules that Copilot uses, for example. There's a session a little further on AI safety that's hosted by Jamie, and that will be coming along as well. So we discuss that. But that's the second outcome of the roadmap, is that you understand that safety and you understand the security. And then the other thing is, we know how much and how long it's going to take AI, where AI is going to be adding value, right? So those are the outcomes of the AI roadmap. Phase one is you're ready to go, you have everything defined. Phase two would be you're ready to launch, and in order to get there, there's likely going to be some digital requirements that are needed, right? There's some prepare is a technical requirement. For example, you might have file servers that are in a closet, and you may need to move them to the cloud in order for everything to better integrate with the data that you're trying to take advantage of in order to empower AI. It could be things like digitized physical data that you have. You have physical data. It could be look at your security and governance policies and make sure all that is ready to go. So step two is very much a technical phase. And step three is a launch phase. The launch phase is all about is a non-technical phase. It's all about change management. It's all about discussing, having conversations. And I saw a question at the beginning there about how do we deal with resistance to change, right? Which is a very important thing for us. So we like to identify the influencers in the business as part of the launch phase. And we look at what we're adopting and we get their buy-in and how do we get them excited? So there's lots of tools in our tool chest to help with that change management process. We also like to sit and talk to the naysayers within the organization. We need to understand what the objections are and come prepared when we launch to answer all those objections. And when we turn the naysayers into advocates, and through that whole change management process, we will get an outcome that is much more in control because of that rigor that we're applying and putting everything through. And then, of course, there's the step iterate. Keep in mind, this is not like a traditional roadmap. This is not a three-year roadmap. Things are changing massively fast within our organizations. So when you think about these sort of roadmaps and these iterate phase, it's very agile. We're doing it and doing it again and doing it again and adding value. And when we do that, we may have to go back and do a prepare. We may go straight back into a launch with a new use case. But it's iterative, and that's mostly because the technology is changing so quickly. So that it does you no good to plan for a five-year plan if you don't know what's happening around the corner after 1 year. So these are short bursts and smaller roadmaps that we're engaging with. And just on that aspect, what a traditional roadmap does is it really does take into account your adoption, your users. It takes into account their resistance to change or their need to have the changes that are happening within the organization apply to them. So when we build a roadmap around what we're trying to do with technology, we very much want to take in precedence into effect and all those factors.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of What the Tech. We hope you're ready to kickstart your AI adventure after our deep dive into creating your AI roadmap. We've covered everything from assessing your AI maturity to laying the groundwork for a seamless implementation. Join us in our next episode as we explore what is Copilot for Microsoft 365. Let's get your organization ready for it. We'll dive into the functionalities of Copilot for Microsoft 365 and provide practical tips to prepare your organization for this powerful tool. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more insights from our Copilot series brought to you by ProServe IT.